back on the farm.
Come on in and set a spell, neighbors. Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, May Kennedy McCord. Good morning, May.
Good morning, Jim. And thank you, Jim. And how goes it with you all? How did the Hurricane Carla treat you? I think we all got some effect of it. My, what a calamity, what a fearful disaster it was. What a world we're in right now. A little verse comes to me now that might help us. O heart of mine, let's make the journey well worthwhile. Give those who travel with us a helping hand, a smile. We go this way but once, nor can we go back along the self-same way to undo the wrongs or try to make a brighter day. We go this way but once. Let's make it blossomy and sweet with kindly deeds and tender words for bruised and stumbling feet. So many people are so worried and distressed right now. So many people are blue and upset. So many hearts ache. It seems that we cry peace, peace, and there is no peace. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just fix it all in some miraculous way, but nobody knows the way. Yes, I know we do. We know the way. If we could take communism out of the world, we'd go along fine. Well, here's a cute poem, and I don't know who sent it to me, but it's a good philosophy for us anyway. The title is, I'm Fine. There's nothing the matter with me. I'm just as healthy as can be. I have arthritis in both my knees, and when I talk with a wheeze. My pulse is weak and my blood is thin, but I'm just fine for the shape I'm in. My teeth are going to have to come out, and my diet I hate to think about. I'm overweight and I can't get thin, but I'm awfully well for the shape I'm in. Arch supports I have for my feet, or I wouldn't be able to walk on the street. My memory's failing, my head's in a spin, I'm practically living on aspirin, but I'm awfully well for the shape I'm in. The moral is, as this tale we unfold, that for you and me who are growing old, it's better to say I'm fine with a grin than to let them know the shape we're in. And I expect that's a fact, too, isn't it? I want to say hello and good morning to a sweet girl, a new friend, and she's a shut-in. I told her I was going to send her my love. Hello, Lucille, down at Miller. Lucille's bashful. She wouldn't talk to me the other day, but she has a timid, sweet smile. God bless you, honey. She's listening this morning. She listens every morning. Bye-bye, Lucille. I had such a good time down at your mama's, you know, Thursday. You know, when I spoke at the Miller Fair recently, the ladies thought I was going to stay all night, as I had first intended. And they had planned a breakfast for me in the home of Mrs. Nivens at Miller, a sort of breakfast club of women who get together about once a month and eat breakfast at each other's houses. Or maybe it's oftener than that. I can't remember. I think it's a fine thing to do. I wish more women would do that. They have a great time. Well, they were disappointed that my plans had changed when I was in Miller at the fair, and so was I disappointed in that I didn't stay all night. But it was better to get back that night. I had my broadcast the next morning, and Henry brought me back. Henry and Anita took me down, brought me back. I had not known about this surprise breakfast for me, so they planned to have it real soon again. And Dorothy and Cece Williford told the ladies they would bring me down any time. So Ms. Niven wrote Dorothy to bring me down last Thursday to breakfast, and she and Charlie to be guests also themselves. The ladies said they planned to send me home with ham and eggs sticking out my ears. And they did just that, and hot biscuits and jam, and what a fine time we all had. A bunch of lovely women in a beautiful home. You can't beat it. So thanks again to all those dear women, and it warms my heart to have such friends. Here we got out of bed and washed behind our ears and got ourselves down there to Miller for breakfast. Imagine, it was a real lark. Miller is a wonderful little town in every way, up-to-date and real go-getting people. One of the ladies said she suggested a cute name for their breakfast club, the Gab and Gobble Club. That's really a name for a breakfast club of a bunch of women, isn't it? Couldn't beat it. That's just what we did, and don't forget, I did my part of the Gab and Gobble. Of course, Henry doesn't believe that. Henry, they asked about you. I'm sorry I didn't get the birthday. in time for last Saturday of my friend Mrs. Lunnon. She was 87 on the 11th of September. She's the aunt of my good friend Grace Spencer at Stratford. I think Mrs. Lunnon lives at Republic. She used to, Grace didn't say. She's one of 19 children. Just think of that. I wish I'd have been one of 19 children. I just love to hear about big families, and I wish I had a great big family myself. Her birthday dinner was at her sister's, Victoria Ragsdale at Republic. Happy birthday to you, Mrs. Lunnon, even though it's a bit late. God bless you and give you many more years. And all your skin folks, too. You know, the little boy said he had a lot of skin folks. I haven't got enough skin folks, really. I have a lot of interesting things from listening correspondence. When I said last Saturday that I would like to see an old-time mourner's bench if one was left, well, I didn't know how many responses I'd get, but I got several responses and urgent and kind invitations to come to their church from different listeners. And this was very kind, and I do hope to try to go. I'm going to try to go to all of them. A lady here in town, I think a Mrs. Carney, called me and told me they had a church altar at her church here. It's a high street, and asked me to go. And Mr. Ralph McCurry at Halfway, Missouri, superintendent of the Sunday school at Mount Olive Baptist Church near there, called me up and invited me. And how friendly that was. And also a lovely letter from the pastor's wife of that church, Mrs. Dennis Spear. And I hope to get to go there sometime when arrangements can be made. I had a nice letter from Mr. and Ms. George Hannaford at Gainesville to come worship at the Brushy Knob General Baptist Church. Leave it to the Baptists. They're the ones who wrote to me. 5 miles east of Gainesville. She says they gather at the altar every Sunday morning and ask for guidance. This is a wise thing to do. I do thank these dear people for inviting me. I also had a letter from May Miller at Niangua, and she said there are plenty of mourner's benches within 50 miles of Springfield where they use them. And she said Amity and Little Vine are two. They're both northeast of Niangua. Eureka uses its altar rail as a mourner's bench. It's about 8.5 miles southeast of Conway. And she says there are a few left who still believe in shouting. Well, hooray. Well, I'll tell you directly what I meant about the mourner's bench, too. I know that there are many churches all around the Ozark country where people kneel at the altar for prayer, and also all over this city. For that matter, I don't have to pass up my own church, Grace Methodist Church. We kneel there for the sacrament, 300 or 400 or 500 of us, and for prayer, and for many things we kneel there. No, the Methodists were born and brought up at the altar, kneeling for prayer. I'm glad we haven't forgotten it. I was converted there myself at a very early age, and I'm glad to see people at the altar down on their knees. We need it, and a lot of it. But there was one thing I was particularly anxious to see when I mentioned it last Saturday. Was the real old-time mourner's bench, which they used to make for the purpose, a long, low bench, and they set it in front of the altar. They used to have long, well-made, low benches in our old-time meetings, and they used them only in big camp meetings, or what we used to call protracted meetings. And then that long bench was carefully taken out and put away until another meeting. That was a mourner's bench made for the purpose. And not just the altar rail that all the churches use now, which was often small and too unhandy and did not accommodate enough seekers for forgiveness. And I wonder if there's one of those benches made for the purpose left in the whole country, and I don't imagine there is. Of course, the altar rail or chancel is better made now, and it maybe it's perfectly adequate in all our churches. But here's the thing. You must remember that a lot of the old churches didn't have any building. And they met in little schoolhouses and tents sometimes. And they had no altar rails. So they made this big, long mourner's bench. Well, suffice it to say, I believe in a mourner's bench, whatever and wherever it is and whatever it's made out of. And I thank the people who invited me from the bottom of my heart. I had a nice letter from Jewel Gardner Davis in this city, and she said the first song she ever remembers her mother singing was how tedious and tasteless the hours. Yes, sir, that's a grand old song yet. And at many of the old singings, they sing it always. And they call it just as they did in the old days, tedious. Not tedious. The word, of course, is T-E-D-I-O-U-S, tedious. The song would sound awfully funny sung that way. That's the correct pronunciation, but I like it the old way. You know, they had that song in the National Folk Festival at St. Louis. A group sang it, and the festival directors asked them, told them they must sing it the old way, how tedious and tasteless the hours, not how tedious. When Jesus no longer I see, sweet prospects, sweet birds, and sweet flowers have all lost their sweetness to me. You know, that's all I remember of my grandmother. When I was only 4 years old, she sang it to me. I never saw any of my grandparents but this one grandmother. They were all dead but this one when I was born. And I have only that faint memory of her. She was a beautiful singer and a great hymnologist, as they call it now. So was my mother. My mother knew 300 hymns, every word by heart. Mrs. Gardner sent me an old tongue twister that I remembered. And I know, I bet you all did, a long time ago. You say this right fast. I saw Esau kissing Kate. In fact, we all three saw. I saw Esau, he saw me, and she saw, I saw Esau. I got some this morning, and I got some the other day. I have some others, and I'll give them to you sometime later. Thanks for a letter and a little verse from our good friend, the poet Perry Mason, at Billings, still happy as a lark with his bride, Marty. And this little verse he wrote at the end of his letter. Our little house sits in a valley, a ridge on either side. There in that little house doth kindness and love and trust abide. I see another guy just the same way, Jim Kendrick. He just the same way, Perry. Beautiful little house sitting out near Half Hill. And thank you, Perry, and I'm sure that's as true as gospel. Happy sailing for you and Marty. Don't forget the big Eureka Springs Folk Festival, October 19th to the 23rd. It's indeed a grand affair. Bill Bailey of, is it KWTO or KYTV now?
KWTO.
Yeah, I thought so. Bill Bailey of KWTO will be master of ceremonies, and he's fine. They're preparing a three-day program. You better get your reservations in early. Write Lida Piles, director, Eureka Springs. Also, hotel or motel reservations. Last year, they ate the town out of everything the last Saturday, and it was some stampede, believe me. There were people there from 20 states. Sam Leith of the Chamber of Commerce kept count, and Sam knows. My old friend who is an invalid, Dora Magdalene Cooper at Summersville, sent me this little verse, which is a good one now to close my program. We never know. I spoke a word and no one heard. I wrote a word and no one cared or seemed to heed. But after half a score of years, it blossomed in a fragrant deed. Preachers and teachers, all are we, sowers of seed unconsciously. Our hearers are beyond our ken, yet all we give may come again. We never know to what one little word may grow. See to it, then, that all your seeds be such as bring forth noble deeds. My time is up, and it doesn't seem to me like I've been on here 1 minute. Goodbye. I'll be seeing you next Saturday if we don't have any more hurricanes and cyclones. And goodbye.